Namanda, bütün namanda, bütün namanda, bütün namanda, bütün namanda, bütün namanda, bütün namanda, bütün
namanda. We'll begin this morning by reading a section of the Shoshinge. The Shoshinge is a collection of verses that Shinran Shonin, the founder of our tradition, pictured here to the right of the Buddha, he composed these verses to express the true meaning and the important matters of the Buddha's teachings. I invite you to join me in Gassho as we hear the words of the Shoshinge. The light of compassion that grasps us illumines and protects us always. The darkness of our ignorance is already broken through. Still, the clouds and mists of greed and desire, anger and hatred, cover, as always, the sky of true and real Shinjin. But though the light of the sun is veiled by clouds and mists, beneath the clouds and mists there is brightness, not dark. When one realizes Shinjin, the heart of entrusting in the Buddha's wisdom and compassion, seeing and revering and attaining great joy, one immediately leaps crosswise, closing off the five evil courses. Amida Butsu no Komyo wa itsumo shujo wo osame totte o mamori kudasaru. Sude ni mumyo no yami wa hanaretomo musabori ya Ikari no kumo ya sari wa itsumo makoto no shinjin no sora o ootte iru. Shikashi, tatoeba nikko ga kumo ya kiri ni saigiraretemo, sono shita wa akaruku yami no nai yo to onaji yo de aru. To namanda butsu, namanda butsu. So again, I welcome you all to join us for this service as we come to the end of summer. As we were preparing for a service and getting set up this morning, a few of the members were talking about all of the disturbing events that we've seen on the news lately. I myself have been very concerned. And at times like this, I look to the wisdom of the Buddha, I look to the example of the Buddha's life as a source of guidance and a source of inspiration for how I might address these matters in my own life. One of the common relationships, the relationships we often hear about when we think about the Buddha and the Buddha's teaching, is his relationship with his cousin, the Buddha's cousin Devadatta. Does anybody remember Devadatta from some other episodes or stories about the Buddha? Kate, what do you remember about Devadatta?
Devadatta was jealous of the Buddha.
That's right. Devadatta was jealous of the Buddha. He was his cousin. He was the Buddha's cousin. They grew up together. One explanation I had heard was that the Buddha's parents were very eager to have a child, but they were unable to have a child. And so Devadatta was just a little bit older than the Buddha. And so the Buddha's father, King Suddhodana, had treated Devadatta kind of as his own son. And so that some have said that that jealousy sort of originated from their childhood, from the time of their childhood, and perhaps some kind of complicated relationship there. But suffice it to say that the Devadatta appears throughout the stories of the Buddha's life, often as a kind of antagonist or troublemaker. Sometimes I think of him as kind of like the Wile E. Coyote, those of you who are familiar with the Looney Tunes cartoons of the Buddha Dharma. So at one point, once the Buddha had established his community and the Sangha was thriving, Devadatta, as the jealous cousin, kind of looked over at the Buddha and said, "I wish everybody would follow me. Everywhere the Buddha goes, people respect him, people gassho and they bow, they give offerings to his Sangha. He has hundreds, thousands of people will gather to hear his teachings. I wish thousands of people would gather to hear what I have to say. And so he started to think, how can I get people to come and join my group? I want to start a new group separate from the Buddha. I want everybody to follow me. So he thought, I know, I will do an even more difficult practice than the Buddha. I will say, if you want to do real practice, if you really want to be enlightened, you have to come and do my special program. My special program. The Buddha's practice is for wimps. My program is for people who are really going to work hard. So they would do even more austere practices of the Buddha. You may remember that the Buddha taught a teaching called the Middle Way. Have you heard this teaching about the Middle Way before? The Middle Way, it's a middle way between two extremes. Do you remember when the Buddha was trying to become enlightened? Do you remember what he did for 6 years before he tried to become enlightened? Do you remember how much food he was eating towards the end? How much? One grain of rice, right? So he was starving himself. He was working really hard. And what happened after he did that? He collapsed, right? He got so hungry, he just fell down on the ground. Do you remember what happened next? Yeah, what happened next, Kate?
A farmer and a little girl came, and the little girl gave the Buddha some milk, and the gardener gave the Buddha a bush of grass to lay down on.
That's right. A gardener and a young girl were passing through the forest, and they saw the Buddha. And they saw him lying there. And so the young girl gave him some milk that nourished him and gave him strength. And then the gardener gave him a little cushion of grass to sit on. And when the Buddha received these gifts, he realized, well, I have to balance between trying to live a luxurious life. He used to be a prince living in a palace. Okay, so getting everything you want. But also I need to recognize what I need. So I need to have this balance between wants and needs. We call this the middle way, the Buddha's teaching of the middle way. So Devadatta, he started saying, that middle way teaching, that's for wimps. We got to go old school, right? We got to eat less. We've got to, sit in more uncomfortable places. And some people, they heard this. They heard this rumor that Devadatta is doing the real hardcore teachings. So if you really want to get enlightened, you should go join Devadatta's group. That's for the people who are the real seekers. And so gradually, more and more people went to join Devadatta's group until he had split the Sangha. He'd split the Buddha's community almost in half. So about half the people had remained, about half the people had gone off to see Devadatta, right? And so Devadatta, then at this point, he says, it's time for phase two of my plan. Phase two of my plan. And so no one knows, what is phase two? What is phase two? But then one night, someone snuck into the Buddha's place where the Buddha was meditating late at night. He snuck in and he had a knife. He had a knife and he went and he was about to attack the Buddha. The Buddha saw him there. But you know what the Buddha did? He did nothing. He just sat there and he continued to meditate. It's not that he was doing nothing. Rather, he was continuing his meditation. He was remaining calm. That's doing something too. To remain calm is not doing nothing. It's doing something very difficult. So the Buddha sat. He continued to remain calm. And the person who was about, this man who was about to attack him with a knife, he saw this man is so calm. He's not fighting back. He's not running away. I can't attack this man. This person is very special. So he dropped down his knife, and he bowed down to the Buddha, and he apologized. He said, I was sent here to attack you, but I see you're so peaceful that I just can't do you any harm. So the Buddha asked him, who sent you here? He said, oh, I can't tell you. I made a promise that I wouldn't tell, and if I told, this person said there would be big trouble for me and my family. And so the Buddha said, very well. But don't do things like this ever again. Go home by a different road than the one you came. Gather your family and move to another town. You'll be safe if you move to another town. OK, Okay, and so at this point, some of the Buddha's other disciples had gathered, and his two main disciples, they were named Shariputra and Mahamoggallayana. We talk about Mahamoggallayana during Obon. So last week we were talking about Mahamoggallayana or Mokuren. And so these two disciples, they said, well, let's just go over to Devadatta's group and see what they're up to over there. So they went over to Devadatta's community, and Devadatta was so happy. He said, this is great because I've converted the Buddha's two main disciples to my group. This is great. The two closest disciples of the Buddha, they think I'm right. They've joined my community. And so Devadatta says, thank you for coming. Why don't you give a Dharma talk? And in Devadatta's mind, he was probably thinking, "Whoo! I don't have to give Dharma talks anymore because Shariputra is the best person at giving Dharma talks. And so I'll just let him give a Dharma talk and I won't have to do anything anymore." So Shariputra begins preaching the Dharma he learned from the Buddha. And he preaches the truth, and everybody listening says, wow, this is a wonderful teaching. This is so true. We've never heard such a wonderful and true teaching. This is so great. And at the end of Shariputra's Dharma talk, he said, this is the teaching of Shakyamuni, the Buddha. This is the only true teaching I've ever heard from the Buddha. I'm going home now, back to the Buddha. I'll see you later. He got up and left. And you know what happened? Hundreds of people got up and followed him back to the Buddha. How do you think Devadatta felt about this? Mad. He was very mad. He was very frustrated at this time. And so he said, now it's time for phase three of my plan. And he says, what is phase three? Right? So the Buddha, he goes on alms and he's walking down a little road through a little valley. He's walking on a road through a valley. And all of a sudden, as the Buddha was walking peacefully in meditation, people hear this rumbling sound like thunder. And they say, what is that? And they looked in the direction from which the rumbling was coming, and a giant boulder was rolling down the hill into the ravine, rolling into this crowd of people. Everybody scattered out of the way. And the Buddha, he was at the front of the crowd. As everybody scattered and this boulder came, he jumped to the side, but he was just a little bit late and the boulder scraped across his foot and injured his foot. And he had a little cut on his foot. And all of the other disciples, they got very alarmed and they were screaming and shouting. The Buddha said, be calm, be calm. Call Jivaka. Jivaka was a good doctor. He was the doctor of the local king. And he came, and Jivaka came. He was a good friend of the Buddha's. And he treated the Buddha's wound. And he said, please, Shakyamuni, Buddha, please rest for 1 week. Rest and let your foot heal. Then you may return to your normal life. So the Buddha did as instructed. He rested. And at the same time, all of his community were very concerned and very alarmed. And the Buddha said, be calm, be calm. That happened. Now it's past. Let us return to our calm life, our calm minds. So they sat and they meditated. The other disciples went out on alms. They brought food back for the Buddha. And then 1 week passed. The Buddha was better, and so then he too went out and joined the community on the alms round. And everybody was so happy to see the Buddha. People came out, a big crowd gathered, they'd heard that he was injured, and they were so happy to see him. They were so happy to see that he was better, that he was walking. And so this big crowd gathers. And then as there's this big crowd, all of a sudden, people hear this a loud, thundering, thumping sound. An elephant had been released from the king's stable. They used to ride elephants back in those days. And this elephant was very angry. Somebody had poked it with a sharp stick and made it very angry. And all these people saw this elephant rushing into the crowd, and they were screaming, right? There's a big elephant, long, sharp tusks, charging through the crowd. Everybody rushing and running and hiding under carts and trying to get away. What does the Buddha do? He remains calm, and he's standing there in the middle of the path. So this elephant is charging toward him. The Buddha remains calm. When the elephant gets close enough, within earshot of the Buddha lets out a tremendous cry. Tremendous cry. It sounded like the queen of the elephants, right? In an elephant herd, the mommy, the queen, is in charge. And this loud thundering cry, the Buddha lets out this loud thundering cry, the cry of the queen of the elephants. And then this elephant stops in his tracks. And the Buddha walks up to it and he pats it on the head and he calms it down. And this elephant then sits down and bows down, just as the man who had come with the knife to come and attack the Buddha, he dropped his knife and bowed to the Buddha in reverence. This elephant, too, bowed down and laid its head down on the ground in reverence to the Buddha and his great peace of mind and his calm heart. Then the Buddha, he took the elephant and he led it by its trunk. Very gently, he walked it back to the stables. Everybody around him was furious. What happened? How did this happen? Who did this? The Buddha remained calm. He led the elephant back to the stables, and he calmly spoke to the stable keeper. Very calmly, but very sternly, he said, "What you did was very dangerous. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but many people could have been injured. You must think before you act. You must think about how the things that you do affect others. You must not do things that you know could harm someone else. You must remain peaceful and kind in your life." Okay? Go in peace and don't do something like this again. When everyone saw this, they said, "This Buddha is a special teacher." Everybody returned to the Buddha as a wise teacher, right? The Buddha shows us in his example how we can deal with conflict and turmoil in our lives. He shows us how to deal with these confrontations and things. The Buddha remains calm. He remains calm, right? He doesn't think about who is to blame. He doesn't think about how are we going to get revenge. The Buddha thinks about how can we make the situation better. Who is suffering, right? When the man came with the knife, the Buddha said, "I know you must be very scared, right? But I will show you the way to live peacefully. Take another road home. Leave with your family. Move to another village." Right? When the Buddha was injured by the rock, right? He didn't look for revenge. He said, "Call the doctor." He looked after his own needs, right? He recognized that I too am a human being who is suffering and followed the instructions of the good doctor to heal, right? When the elephant came charging, the Buddha, rather than attacking the elephant, he called with the song of the queen of the elephants. It says he learned that song when he was meditating in the forest, right? So he spoke to the elephant in a language it could understand. He calmed it down, and then he brought it home. And he spoke to the stable keeper. Calmly, but directly and seriously, showing him the way to live peacefully. This is the way of the Buddha's teachings. The Buddha knew that after he was gone from this world, these conflicts would continue to arise. And so he left his teachings to be a source of guidance to us, for people like us who live today when these conflicts continue. Human conflict has been continuing since the time of the Buddha and before, 2,500 years and more. People have been fighting because of greed, anger, ignorance, hatred. These delusions have long been a part of human life. And the Buddha recognized that, and he knew this is going to continue But I hope that one day people will learn to be free of this. And so he provided a teaching to guide them to freedom. Yes, Yoma. And there would be hungry ghosts too, right? So there would be conflict, there would be foolishness, there would be greed. And so the Buddha provides us with a teaching, provides us with the teaching of the Nembutsu, Namo Amida Butsu. When we hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu means I take refuge, I entrust my heart to the Buddha's wisdom and compassion. And when we do that, we look in our own hearts and we see all kinds of things. We see ourselves as we truly are. When I look in my heart, I see that sometimes I roll rocks down a hill, right? Sometimes I start trouble. Sometimes I think, oh, these people are against me. I want to stand and fight. I get angry and frustrated, especially when I watch the news, right? I think, oh, those people, right? But then I look in my heart and I recognize that feeling of fighting and anger, that is the problem. And the solution is not more fighting. The solution is to follow the Buddha's example, to be peaceful. So that's what we receive in the Nembutsu. Clear understanding of me and my mind, clear vision of how to live, receiving the Buddha's wisdom, receiving the Buddha's compassion, guided by that, to live as the Buddha lived, peacefully, harmoniously, resolving conflicts, right? Recognizing the oneness of all life in Namu Amida Butsu. Namu Amida Butsu というのは仏様からいただくお言葉ですね。仏様の時代にもいろいろな争いがあった時代ですね。で、仏様はこれが人間がある限り、こういう怒り、むさぼり、愚かさが永遠に続くというのは人間のありようである。仏様がこれがかわいそう、ね、これが悲しい心を持って、ね、人間がこういう正す方法を、それは仏法の仏様の御教えですね。で、仏様がこの世を姿が消えたら、涅槃に入って入滅したら、それ以降に人が正しい方向に行くように御教えを残したんですね。私たちに残した御教えの一番私の心に響くというのは、南無阿弥陀仏、阿弥陀如来の大きなお心のお念仏の教え。南無阿弥陀仏の念仏の中に私の誠の姿が見えるんですね。私でさえ怒ったり、ね、むさぼったり、ね、愚かなことをしたり、人間ですから。そんな私でも救われるというのは、阿弥陀如来の知恵と慈悲の働きであるということですね。ですから仏様が煩悩、怒りとむさぼりと愚痴、愚かさが霧のように知恵の太陽の、ね、妨げ遮ることがあるんですけど、でもその霧の下に明るいというのは、この煩悩愚束の私でさえ仏様に照らされて正しい生き方が示せるというのは、南無阿弥陀仏の念仏の働きですね。So in these words that I read at the start of my talk, we're taught that the light of the Buddha, Shinran teaches us that the light of the Buddha shines through the clouds of our greed, anger, and ignorance. In that way, we feel that despite my foolishness, I still am guided by the wisdom of the Buddha's compassion, the power to make peace in this world by not through my own efforts, but through living the wisdom of the Buddha. So thank you very much for joining me this Sunday. We'll be continuing, rolling right on into our Dharma School services in a few weeks. So I look forward to continuing to see all of you in the coming weeks and to enjoying and celebrating this teaching of the Buddha and receiving comfort in the Nembutsu. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho, onegaishimasu. The light of compassion that grasps us, illumines and protects us always. The darkness of our ignorance is already broken through. Still, the clouds and mists of greed and desire, anger and hatred, cover as always the sky of true and real Shinjin. But though the light of the sun is veiled by clouds and mists. Beneath the clouds and mists, there is brightness, not dark. When one realizes Shinjin, the heart of entrusting in the Buddha's wisdom and compassion, seeing and revering and attaining great joy, one immediately leaps crosswise, closing off the five evil courses.
Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.